guys. This is Jill, and welcome back to the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. And we are back with round two of the fan roundtable featuring Will Z, Michael, and Megaloo.
If you think Keegan is going to grow into the starting four, you bring back Lyles, you bring Sasha over, and you have Kessler. And we still don't know what's going to happen in the draft, if we're going to get somebody that's going to be actually on the roster or not, what have you. I think that's fantastic forward depth. It gives you, and it gives you insurance. The other thing that I love about Mike Brown is he plays deep into the bench during the regular season. He also played deeper into the bench during the playoffs than I thought he would. So it gives you four guys that I think you have pretty good gauge of as far as how they're going to be. Sasha is maybe more of a question, but you know, he's a great cutter. You know, he doesn't, you know, he's a catch and shoot shooter, doesn't need a lot of dribbles. And he's a good foul baiter. So, and from what I've watched of him, I like him because he's also kind of a jerk, which I think the Kings need in some ways. But anyway, so that's just a theoretical. I didn't mean to take us in a totally free agent discussion direction, but.
But that was the next question anyway. So it works, right? I mean, because we already answered the other question we were going to go to was like how you felt about the season. I think we kind of answered a lot of that when we were answering the other questions that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm all assuming it was a good season for everybody. And we're hoping that we just build on it. Shortly,
yeah, it's an unequivocal
like,
success.
You know, step one, yeah. Now let's keep going. We can hit into, you know, our hopes for this summer. Like if there are guys you are targeting or even a type of, you know, target that you would either want or you envisioning maybe the front office or Coach Brown wanting, et cetera.
Well, as far as free agents go, I just have started looking at, you know, who the UFAs that are available at the positions of need, like backup center, forward, even 3-and-D guards. And the reason why I'm looking at the UFAs as opposed to the RFAs is just because I don't think the Kings have the type of assets necessarily to, you know, get some of these guys in a position where they can not have their teams match. So like Josh Hart, for instance, would be nice to have, but I think the Knicks are going to match him no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, Matisse Thybulle would be another guy who I would look at, but I think that, you know, Portland probably also sees him as, you know, necessary to their future assets, you know, think guys like that. But looking at guys like Gabe Vincent as a backup point guard, shooting guard type of guy, or a third, you know, point guard, emergent backup shooting guard type of guy. He's going to be UFA this year. Max Strus from the Heat is also going to be a UFA this year. Those guys are going to get paid. There's a forward. Naz Reid, obviously. We've all wanted Naz Reid on this team for a long time. He's going to get a big offer from somebody. Might as well be the Kings. And then obviously all these are contingent on what they decide to do with Barnes as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, right. Cause that's the big thing of, are they going to have the cap space or are they not, you know, basically releasing the rights of everybody or not.
Or just signing Barnes to a smaller number.
Yeah.
Before, you know, like as 301 or whatever, if you sign Barnes to a,
you figure he's going to be the first call they make. I mean, I would be shocked if he isn't.
I would be shocked if he's not signed. But, you know, if they're going to retain him, he's going to be signed that first day. And if you can sign him to a deal that is, you know, $18 million in that first year or something like that, that knocks your cap hold down by $10 million.
Am I crazy that I almost think it's not even going to require that much?
So I could be
wrong.
Today, did you guys see in The Athletic was 493? That's what, but that's the agent number. You know what I mean? That's that number that they push out to like start the
And that's what he got last time. I don't think that you give him that same amount, especially after what happened here. Like, had you given it something that maybe prior to the playoffs, but I just don't think you throw out that money after seeing what you saw.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the number is like closer to 3 for 45, 3 for 50, something like that. You know, with maybe like a player option for a fourth year, if that's necessary, or something along those lines. But the Kings are going to have cap problems very quickly. You know, not this year, but starting next year, when you go into your Sabonis getting a max, you look at, you know, Davion Mitchell is going to be extension eligible. You look at
Malik Monk.
They're going to have, huh?
Trying to keep Malik Monk.
Yeah, trying to keep Malik Monk, you know, because he doesn't have bird rights. You know, those are non-bird because he only signed the 2-year deal. So, you know, then you've got to figure out what you're going to do with Malik. You have to figure out what you're going to do with Kessler Edwards. You have to figure out what you're going to do with, you know, all these other guys that are going to become more and more expensive if you are good. That's just the nature of the beast in the NBA.
And it really does seem like the forward spot, either the 3 or the 4 with Keegan kind of being interchangeable between the two, should be the main priority. Justice Winslow is an intriguing option for me.
I thought about him too.
His injury history is so, the amount of games that he's played in his career is very disturbing to me.
He's really one that can play 1 through 3 for you, but that's like the one downfall is, can he be on the court?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like he was like, they kind of like counted him as a huge plus last year in Portland. And then it wasn't, you know, it's sort of like the Otto Porter conundrum. Like,
yeah,
he's fantastic. He's a perfect piece when he can play. Like, I have a really weird thing about that, though. I like guys who play 75% of their games or more. And I count people's availability against them probably way more than other people do.
I mean, rightfully so. It's so important. With that, I wonder if, like, being a trend, he probably wouldn't be very expensive. So he's kind of a lower tier option. And then another one is Niang from the Sixers. I really liked how the Kings kind of poached Monk from the Lakers, with the Lakers being a very expensive team. Can Monty find another expensive team like the Sixers or the Clippers or, I don't know, the Warriors, any of those like top salary teams, and pay a player just a little bit more than they would be comfortable paying, where it's not necessarily an overpay, but more it would be an overpay for that team?
That's how the Sixers poached him from the Jazz too. I mean, because he's another one of those guys where you can just throw him in and he does the little things. Like,
he can shoot.
Yeah.
I'm trembling. I think the other big domino. There was
someone on the Kings that he's friends with too.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, it was Tyrese.
Is that? Oh, that's who it was. Damn.
Yeah.
They might not want to.
The other big domino is Harrison, obviously. Yeah. Like, can you? I mean, I think in some ways, like, we want roster spots more than necessarily even. But I mean, can you get a couple expiring contracts for him that might have upside or that kind of thing? I think, you know, could be a big deal. Also, I think it's important, like, again, as much hatred as Chemezi gets, he is somebody I would look at bringing back if he's willing to come back on a similar deal. He's so affordable.
Oh, like, if you can get him at that same price, that's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he completely outperformed his contract. And then Damon Jones was really good for us last year. I think he's another guy that you could get maybe on a minimum deal to kind of like shore up that center rotation. If there's nothing else out there, if there's no Naz Reid, if there's no, you know, if there's no other options, I guess, like, for me too, I have this really just read Breaks of the Game, and I read Built to Lose, and they're about the decline of good teams, right? And I know, like, the Kings also in the 90s had, like, one year where they made the playoffs, and then they overshot, right? They were like, oh, we're good. Let's, like, do too much. And then they didn't make the playoffs again for a few years. The Wolves did kind of the same thing this year where, like, the swing was too big. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, let's get Mikal Bridges and spend four first rounders and or whatever it is, whatever you, OG, whoever you think the perfect
OG piece and Anobi, yeah.
is. But does that work? Is it the perfect piece? Like, you have to be so sure, you know? And I guess, like, I just have this thing about, like, can we maintain as much of the vibes as possible? And, like, you always need those guys like Chemezi who are outperforming their contract, right? Whether you love him individually or not, and you think he doesn't, you know, makes mistakes or not, or, like, I think so much basketball narrative is this guy's good, this guy's bad, not the more nuanced narrative of, like, does the team function better with this guy on the floor? Can they do things that shock other teams and create winning? And to me, Chemezi did that for us this year. And I would really consider bringing him back. I'm not his agent, I swear to God.
Another name I think is interesting is Thomas Bryant, who got traded in the middle of the year to the Nuggets and is sort of languishing there doing nothing. But when he was with the Lakers, was really interesting as part of their early season. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that will go get a block, that will get you a rebound, will set a screen, doesn't have to score points as part of a, you know, a focused part of the offense.
And he can shoot the three too.
And he can shoot the three a little bit, yeah. And he's not going to be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shoot, you even see Bamba, right? The Lakers traded to get Bamba, and then they're not even using him.
Yeah, so weird.
it's going to be interesting to see which direction some of these teams go. I mean, because if you're listening to the Laker people, it's, oh, they're still going to, you know, release money, right? Sign Reeves, but then go after Kyrie again, you know, with what imaginary money? It's so, and what do the Nets do, right? The Nets have like seven, you know, small forwards. Could you possibly poach any of them out of there?
Is Cam Johnson in staying there? Yeah.
Well,
he's restricted too.
He is, but if listening to Trista today, I mean,
right.
I don't think she's pulling this out of, you know, nowhere, but she's saying he wants to stay somewhere small, which that is not. Her perfect place that she described was literally Sacramento. Mm-hmm. If all of that is the case, and he would really fit in really well here. But I mean, and then even the Wizards, right? What are the Wizards going to do? They're going to have a new GM. What direction are they going to go in? Are they going to keep Beal again? I mean, are they going to look at shopping him again? Are they going to look at trying to keep Kuzma? Or, you know, is a new person going to come in and they're going to blow it up? They're going to keep it? Like, there's just so many different directions I think some of these teams can go that players we might not even be thinking of, you know? Will all of a sudden be talked about.
Any thoughts on Porzingis?
I was just thinking that too. He had a really good year.
Likes
a player that stays on the floor, and that's
he's good when he's on the floor, and that's always kind of his.
He played 65 games thing
too.
Yeah,
which is good for him.
That's a pretty good number. Yeah, but
just the amount you're giving him. And expecting him to be
a lot of money.
The money that's where is so much.
I don't even know if he'll opt out, but he's making 31. He has player option for $31.5 million next year. So hard to know if he's even available, but just the idea of that other big who can step out and shoot to pair with Sabonis is just still intriguing. I still don't know if that's
my white whale there is Karl Anthony Towns. That's the guy. You just take all your draft picks and send him to the.
He is so expensive, though, isn't he?
He will be. He'll be. he'll be like $60 million at the end of
his extension. I don't have, like, I feel like a lot of people like love Carl Anthony Towns or hate him. Like, I feel like these very, like, you know, like people have really strong opinions on him. I think he's good for what he is. I like what he is, but I think having that much money invested in him would be a little rough. Like, I don't know. Are they going to move on from him? They're so confusing. I don't like, are they going to run it back? Or are they going to, if they don't pay Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels, and I mean, granted, like Alexander Walker was great for them and all that stuff, like, but they're just confusing. It's really, I think what they do, if any of those guys end up being on the market, I think there will be pretty high demand.
They want to send Slo-Mo over here. They can do that too.
Yeah.
If Slo-Mo and Rudy are getting along.
Yeah. He's cool. He's fun. I'm interested in him for sure.
And he also has a little bit of that mean streak that you were talking about.
He's like a dog, but in slow motion.
But he's like that Harrison, right? Where all of a sudden Harrison slows down and you're like, wait, how did that just happen? But he's another guy where he just does a little bit of everything too. Like, yeah, you will get production in every part of the game. But I think that's going to be the biggest piece of for Monty is finding a guy that's going to give you something in all of those areas. And everyone's looking for that. So it's going to be, but this is where I'm kind of excited because this is the first offseason we will see him working with an actual, like, good team with a good reputation, with players and agents. And what can you do with it? Right.
And from a position of strength inside of his position, knowing that his job is secure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, and I'm interested to see what he does in the draft too. Cause I think that this is a deep draft, and 24, you can get a good player there. You can get a Nick Smith. You can get a Dembona. You can get a player that can make an impact, that can be, you know, if not a starter, can get you 12 minutes a night in this draft this year. Or you can trade that pick for, you know, a veteran that can help you too.
Or do you try and combine 24 and 34 and jump up
37.
Could you combine that? I mean, that's how Memphis that year jumped up to get
Brandon Clark.
Yes, they jumped. Yeah. They jumped up, and that's how they got him. So, I mean,
man, or, I would love, like Brandon, you said, Clark.
Do they use it to get it in to get an established vet already? Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of options that they can go with that. And this seems to be like a good draft to have two top 40 picks. And even some of those names in that area are guys that look like they would make a team, right? That I could see them making a team and not necessarily a two way, but I'm also excited that you now get three two ways.
Yeah.
That's another opportunity to actually use your pick and keep developing.
I think they can develop. Can do something. Like, I mean, you look at, like, Jokic was like pick number 27 or something, right? I mean, they're in such a great position to be able to, like, take a chance on somebody and have it be like the long play out, you know, where they can really send them to the G League. They don't even need to keep 24 on the floor necessarily. Yeah. But I guess the one thing I want to say too is I love how this coaching staff has maximized all the guys on the team. They've really, like, made each person into, like, sort of a specialist in their role, right? And so for me, like, I like the idea of bringing in younger guys and coaching them up. Like, love the Kessler Edwards. I find that to be more of a compelling kind of watch as a basketball fan in some ways. And I have more affinity for those guys on the team for whatever reason. I can't exactly explain why. But so I like that concept more than going in a sort of like Carl Towns direction. But I mean, that's just me. That's like a personal thing. I think you're trying to build five pillars, right? You're trying to get this many rebounds and this many points and this many blocks and this many steals or whatever. So I get that part of it, but I think you can do that without necessarily just finding the highest usage guys, which I think is a lot of the time what people think of as the great players, right? But what you really need are players that make the team function the way that it's supposed to function. So are there great cutters out there? Are there great, like Luke Travers was like a really weird guy in the draft combine last year, but he did crazy weird stuff. Like he had a ton of blocks. He set screens on every single play. He would set two or three screens. And he made threes, and he didn't get drafted. He played with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I could see like a guy like that really fitting like a pace and space team like this, where you're really like introducing. He wasn't a fantastic cutter, and that's the only part of, I think that's been so beautiful to watch this year, is the motion and the offense has been so refreshing, and it's like the ballet that we don't always get to see in basketball, is that motion. No, anyways.
Yeah, and I think if you look like what Denver did, right, last year, the lone rookie that's getting minutes, right, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In Braun, like, they found a specific type of player they were looking for, and they got him. And that's something that the Spurs did, you know, when they were always in the 20s was, you know, and they talked about that was, they draft, like, you don't have to look for the stars there. Like, yes, there are certain teams that will take the swing there, but a lot of times they said they needed a specific, this type of player, this type of role. Who can we go get that is the best at that, you know, at that spot? And you can go just slot them in. Like, it's a no-brainer, and you're getting them on a good deal by getting them in the 20s compared to, you know, having to pay the lottery all the time. Cause I mean, we were stuck in the lottery forever, and we're swinging for the fence forever. And you get a lot of misses that way. And you see a lot of guys, you know, in the later part of the draft, if they're going to an already established good team, those guys stick around, right? Like, they're coming in, having a role. And they're guys that buy into those roles, because they're usually already guys in college right now that had a specific role style already. So it'll be interesting, like we said, to see how Monty targets that. But we also know how good the relationship is between Brown and Monty. And I would have to really guess that Brown specific, like, he knows what am I missing, you know, with this group? What can we target? What was lacking, right, in the regular season, but also in the playoffs, like what piece could we really target that you could target in a draft setting if you are gonna draft?
I think those players in the second round, and I know the Kings haven't historically valued their second round picks, but I think there's players in the second round, like an Amani Bates might be available, who was at one point thought of as being maybe a top five pick.
And that'd be a good swing.
Not really, you know, shown out yet to the level that he was expected to. Or even a guy like I'm going to show my homerism here, but a Jaime Jaquez Jr., who was a National Player of the Year candidate.
I saw him going to the Kings in a mock yesterday.
Yeah, was a four-year player at UCLA. Has a great basketball IQ. Maybe not the most athletic guy, but can do everything on the court, can pass it, can shoot it a little bit, can, you know, rebound, defend, everything that you need him to do, you know, sort of the same as Kyle Anderson type of mold. You know, those are guys that you could target at that like 37 pick range.
Yep.
I was thinking about Monty's drafting today, and like, this might be a super weird take, and so sorry if it is, but I was thinking that he has drafted three guys in a row who have one super skill, right? Tyrese's super skill is passing, Davion's super skill is defense, Keegan's super skill is shooting, motion shooting, right, in particular. So I guess, like, what I'm trying to say with that is that identify the best offensive rebounder in the draft later on and take him. And he's not going to be one of the top guys, because that is not what's valued in the top part of the draft, right? What's usually valued is shooting, scoring. I mean, high usage guys are what's usually identified. And I mean, can you make a super steal and get somebody like a Walker Kessler? Maybe, right? I think that's really hard. Like, I don't think anybody really knew Walker Kessler was going to be Walker Kessler, but maybe there's somebody out there that you can find that has a rebounding super skill, you know? And I think that's possible at 24 in the 30.
Who's the kid from Santa Clara? Was it Pons? I know that's like a short version of his name. He's got a long name, but he's like a redhead. But that he's like what, a 6'7" guard forward. But that dude rebounded the ball. Like that was his. He could shoot, but that was also his specialty too. And he's another one that's kind of projected it in that range between our, you know, two picks. But that was kind of what in different articles that I had read that kind of got people noticing him was he was kind of a guy that was just all over, like the hustle guy, and was just doing a lot Bonnie's of the little type things.
So far, yeah, I do, trust
and he got him. On people's radar that way.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's my favorite kind of player is hustle guys for sure.
Gonna bug me. I forgot his name. It's like Pondesky or something like that. No, it's
Pons or something.
What about Nemeas and Keon? Do they bring them up? Are they ready to come up? Do they fit? Like,
I think Keon still stays in one of those three spots. I don't think you need. I don't. Depending on, because I do think they will try and target some veteran to fill out those roster spots. That I think if you can get him back for another year, kind of like you did with Nemi, and have him take one of those spots and get those developed minutes, just keep working on his body. Just because I don't want him sitting on a bench, because I do think if they were going to look for that vet help, then he's going to be the odd man out. Or if Kessler, right, develops like you want him to, I would assume he would get more of the minutes than Keon. So to me, I'd like to see him stay in that spot and keep that. And I think Kata could take the Len spot. Like, I think he could be that third guy. And if you could get him on the Metu kind of deal, like, right, because Metu was the two-way, if you could get him and Damian Jones, those contracts, if you can get him on that 2-3 year, you know, partially guaranteed, you know, by year, and see if he's really ready. Like, I think it's time to find out. And so I think throwing him at that third backup spot and letting him fight for, you know, anything more, I think that's fair. But those, I mean, that's just a guess.
He was second in the MVP for the G League. I mean, it's not like he hasn't shown that he can dominate.
He did everything you'd want him to do, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's not like he hasn't shown that he can dominate a league. Now, maybe he's what you would call a quadruple A player that is too good to be in the G League, but not quite good enough to be in the NBA. But you won't know until you find out. So might as well put him on the bench.
He definitely has size. And I got to say, like, you know, his defense is incredible. Like, it's just when he's on some of those G League games, I watched most of the G League games this year. He's just so good. Like, he was so fun at Summer League, too. And I think he's worked really hard to, like, have more skills. But he's a fantastic rim defender. He's good at, like, coming out from the block and defense. You know, he doesn't have to be all drop. And I know a guy is that big, it's hard, right? The game is kind of passed them by. But I think he could be a really interesting piece with, like, a full training camp under his belt, you know, with that chemistry built with the rest of the guys.
A full season just up with the group. Yeah. Going against Domas every day, right? In practice.
Well, and I always say, I think he could be our Robert Williams. I don't mean that he could play like Robert Williams. I mean, Robert Williams plays like 12 minutes a game or something. It's about surprising the other team, putting him in at the right time, having that size and that skill set, you know, on the roster. It's not about necessarily having a guy who's going to play 30 minutes or whatever. So anyways.
But yeah, I think if you can get him on that small of a deal and let him, I mean, I think he has shown changing his body, you know, extending his shooting stroke. Like, I think he's done everything that you've kind of asked him along the way. That at what did they give Metu? I think it was like not even 2 million. I mean, it was right around there. It's one of those
1.9 million.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that seems like a no-brainer to give him and see what you can do with it. And that's something they always did with Metu was you can pick it up the next year or you don't. And so give it a shot at this point. And if he earns it, awesome. And if he doesn't, you're not breaking your bank, right? With letting it go. But, and everybody seems to really enjoy him, that they love him. So, I'd like to see it. He's like the lone, right, guy left outside of Keon, you know, and with those second rounders. So,
well, like I said, you're going to need to save money at some point because things are going to get very expensive very quickly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any last thoughts, Will?
I'm just excited. Like, it's just an exciting place to be coming off of a fun season. Like, it's just such a more thrilling off season than I think back to 2 years ago. So I'll take this any day. And I just can't wait to see what's next.
Right on. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Last thoughts. I want to give you guys an opportunity to promote anything you have going on or where the listeners can find you if they already are not. I'm sure most of them are, but just in case, Meg, we'll start with you and then Michael, and then we'll have Will.
I'm on Twitter at Megalou2U, MEGALUTOU. And then I do a monthly book club with my friends John and Kevin, and we just read and usually we read like an analytics book and then we'll read a history book, analytics history. So we do that on Spaces, but I turn it into a podcast too. So if you have any interest in doing that, that's been really, really fun. And that's about it.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Lotus Prime. That's LOTUSPRIME. And I'm probably going to start looking at, like I said, looking at the draft spots later and putting some of those thoughts onto Twitter and seeing where we go from there and maybe digging into some tape on that. So that's what my plan is for the next couple months.
Yeah, and then we'll see stats on Twitter for me. I can't wait. I'm going to be digging into free agency numbers soon and kind of finding. I like to compile a ton of different pages from NBA.com and just put it all together in my own little spreadsheet. So looking forward to really getting into that and seeing who the Kings can go and get. And thanks, Joe, for having us.
Will, you need to make a Patreon, man. Like, build us a website and wait so we can pay for your stuff. Like,
I wish I knew how to code or do something like that.
It's so awesome. I'm excited to look through your draft stuff too, Lotus. Like, I'm so behind on that. Thanks, guys. Really fun.
That was great.
Thank you.
Nope. Thank you. Yeah, I think we're all behind because we've never had to go this far. So now we're having to get into it. So I hope you enjoyed part two of the fan roundtable. And if you missed the announcement on Twitter, I do have a new co-host that's coming aboard. It is the one and only Daily Sabonis, who you have heard on this podcast before and you see all over Twitter. And he has his own, he does Spaces and he has other podcasts he's doing, but he's going to be joining me. And so look for that in the next couple of weeks. So that's super exciting. I'm happy to welcome Daily aboard. So again, as always, thanks for listening and go Kings.